All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Monday, October 18th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'm joined by Mr. Big Marcel here on Monday afternoon. Marcel, how's it going, man?
All good, man. How are you doing?
Not bad, not bad, Marcel. Busy week again, as always. I know it's the same with you, but we did have quite a bit of MMA on the weekend to talk about, and I'm looking forward to recapping the fights with you. And also want to mention, and we'll mention this later on as, again, Marcel, but tomorrow the podcast will be at 7 p.m. Eastern. Marcel's got some stuff that's going on in the afternoon, so we got to push it back a little bit, but we'll do it at 7 p.m. Eastern, right before Contender Series starts, for an hour before that. So that'll be good. All right, so we got a lot to talk about, Marcel. We got UFC, Bellator, we had Contender Series. There was also a Cage Warriors card. There was some cards in Russia. I know you're watching a lot of MMA this weekend, but let's start with UFC, Marcel, and then we'll go do the other stuff after, but we'll start with UFC. So let's just start with it right now. Main event of the fight, of the card the other night. It was not the greatest fight in the world, obviously. Norma Dumont defeats Aspen Ladd. Did predict the upset here. Really liked Dumont in this fight. She got the job done. Ladd, just too many question marks, guys. Like, you know, she hadn't fought in 2 years. The second weight cut. Just looked like she was mentally lost out there a little bit. I think we can all say that. She just didn't look like she was in the fight. I thought it'd be a little bit more competitive than that, I'll be honest. It pretty much was one-sided for Dumont. She basically won 4-1. There was one round which Ladd won, but it was a good performance by Dumont, I think. And obviously, again, not the most exciting fight. I'm not going to say it was an exciting fight. It really wasn't. But Marcel, like, I think this girl's pretty good, and she's underrated. You know, she's won her last three fights as an underdog against Spencer, now against Ladd, and also against Ashley Evans-Smith. She was an underdog in this fight, so people don't realize, I don't think, that Norma's actually quite a good fighter right now. I'm not saying she's going to be the person who defeats Amanda Nunes, but I will say this. In a division where, Marcel, there quite frankly are many contenders, I do think we will see that fight next year, Norma Dumont and Amanda Nunes. She'll probably fight Holly Holm next, if I have to guess. But, you know, in a shallow division, guys, she's one of the top girls out there. So give me your thoughts on her, and then we're going to talk about Ladd. We'll talk about the corner work. But give me your thoughts on Dumont, because I want to give her a bit of shine here, because I thought she looked really good in this fight.
She'll either fight Holly Holm next, or she will fight for the title against Amanda. It's one of the two, you know. So, yeah, she did look well. She had a good jab going, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that was pretty much it. She had a good jab going, you know. And Aspen Ladd, man, it was a very bad performance, to say the least, you know. And not, no disrespect to Aspen Ladd, but this is like, I haven't seen a fight like that before. Yeah, maybe the Kunitskaya, and then she turned it around the last round, but this is like there was no, how do you say that, there was no improvement in every single round. So I was like, I don't know what was happening. I mean, I think Dumont did perfect, you know, and she got the win. Perfect, well done. For Ladd, I don't know. Actually, there was more backlash about the in-between rounds thing, what happened with Ladd and her coach.
We'll talk about that, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of completely bullshit, in my opinion. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
We got our boy Tristan in the chat. What's up, man? How's it going? Hope you catch that the Dumont ticket there, plus money on the underdog. But let's talk about the controversy, I guess. I really don't think it's controversial, but a lot of people do. So, obviously, you know, Jim West... Here's the thing. He's not just her coach. He's her boyfriend. They've been dating for like, I want to say for, you know, how old is Aspen? She's 26. I think they've been dating since she was 18. So they've been dating since she was just turned, you know, to an adult, basically. And not only is Jim her coach, but he's her mentor. And Jim is her partner in life, too. So this is a very unique situation, Marcel. It's not just like a coach. This is more than that. It's also like her, basically her husband. You know what I mean, Marcel? And that's the part that's tripping a lot of people up. It's this other dynamic at play. It's not just the fact they are coaches. It's all coach and pupil. It's also that it's husband. It's basically, it's, you know, partners. They're man and wife, basically. So they're not married, but you know what I mean, guys. So for me, it's a complicated situation. But like in general, I don't have a problem with the corner advice, to be honest with you. I don't have an issue with it. Like Ladd didn't do anything. She wasn't listening to the technical advice. And even he said, that point, we're down 3-0. We know we're down in the fight. We have to finish the fight at that point. And he's like, I try to get a fire, light a fire under her. Bisping obviously was commenting. He wasn't too thrilled with the tactics, I guess. But I think the biggest thing was when Ariel Helwani tweeted about it. And Ariel has a million followers, guys. You know, he's got a lot more influence in the game than he thinks, I think, sometimes. And, you know, guys like me and Marcel, we have our opinion on it, but we have like not even, we have like a minuscule amount of following compared to that guy. So when he went and tweeted out that he thought it was really, the very like strong language used, and it was, he didn't like it. I think a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon, and I just don't get it, Marcel. I don't think, first off, journalists, I don't think should, you know, we have to stay, we have to, at some point we have to stay in our lane. We're not professional athletes. We're not coaches. We shouldn't be giving corner advice, you know? So I had no problem with it, Marcel, but I want to hear your thoughts. Go ahead.
I'm going to get crushed for this one, but I'm going to say this is woke bullshit, man. Let's be honest. If there was a guy in that corner with Jim West, nobody would have a problem. But now it's Aspen Ladd. It's a girl, you know, and everybody is like, oh, my God, it's so bad. Come on, guys. And then Misha Tate is throwing even more fuel on the fire because she has an issue with the coach, you know, and everybody's going to get behind her. It's so stupid, man. Listen, let Aspen Ladd tell the people if she liked it or not. You know, that's what's the most important to me. And I didn't hear anything from Aspen Ladd that she didn't like it, you know. I think she's more concerned with her own performance than with what her coach said there, you know. So it's like so stupid, you know. And yeah. I said it. The Dutch podcast earlier today as well. It's just the thing that if that was, for example, last week, James Cross against Tim Elliott, you know, if that was James Cross talking to Tim Elliott at that time, that moment, how he did there, nobody would have said anything. You know what I mean? Right, but now it's Aspen Ladd with Jim West, and now it's like, oh my God, he's attacking the girl. It's so bad. It's like he's absolutely destroying her. Shut the fuck up, man. It's so annoying.
The thing that I don't agree with is like people saying, I'm concerned for their relationship if that's the way he talks to her. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Get out of here, guys. Like, this is a fight. Literally,
yeah.
I don't think people understand what the sport is sometimes, Marcel. I really don't. Like, this is a fight. Like, you go in the octagon, you might not leave. You might be dead by the time you get out of there. It's a dangerous place to be. Like, it's different stakes in there, guys. It's not just like they're not out for dinner and having an argument. They're in a fucking fight here.
Yeah, what's with the soft ass bullshit mentality lately, man? It's really annoying to me. You know?
I listen, I'm not going to go and say, you know, about softness and everything. There's a lot going on in the world these days. I get it. But for me, this doesn't need to enter MMA. This is a dangerous sport as it is. We don't need people policing what the corners are saying. You know, Marcel, for me, like, I don't think it was the best advice that, you know, that Jim was giving her, but I don't think there was any controversy at all personally. So let me just get these comments because I gotta see what you guys said. Okay, so Daniel said Ariel backtracked on the show, clarified he felt Jim didn't go over the line. Well, it sure seemed like his tweets were saying that. And again, guys, when you have a million followers, people do take notice of what you're saying. You know what I mean, Marcel? Like, me and you have a decent following, but not even close. Think about it, Marcel. A million compared to like 20K or whatever you have, or 10 for me. It's not even close, guys. Like, we have a small, minuscule amount of influence, but really it's someone with that many followers that are going to get more people talking about what they're saying. I didn't have a problem with it. I'm not saying it was the best corner advice, but it's not controversial. Hey, Glenn, you asked about the double weight cut. I think it had an effect. I know she didn't have this cut as much to make 145, but she just looked mentally beaten in that fight, Aspen. Yeah. She just didn't look the same. But again, hadn't fought in 2 years, had the two weight miss, two weight cuts. I think she'll look better once she's back at 135, but honestly, I don't even know if she'll make that weight class anymore. Like, it seems like she's kind of grown out of the weight class. Daniel thinks that the coach was just trying to entertain the audience. I've seen this thought, Daniel, not just you. A lot of people saying he's just coaching to the cameras. I'm not sure if I necessarily agree with it, but I do know what you're saying about the fight being not entertaining because it really wasn't. It wasn't a great fight. Again, Dumont did what she had to do, but it wasn't a good fight. Go ahead.
Adam, imagine Aspen Ladd knocking Norma Dumont out in the fifth round.
Just like she did with Yana, right?
Yeah, what would people say? You know?
They would say amazing job. Like, it's just you can't just look at the result of things sometimes. I agree. Tristan says he wished he captured the Dumont ticket, but he lost it on Meve. Yeah, I think a lot of us deal with that fight in a few minutes. Kevin Scott, it's hard to call what that guy was saying advice. Jim West, he's talking about, didn't offer any suggestions. Guy's a joke. The other sports soon enough. Again, you know, Jim, he's also the coach of a few other fighters like Anthony Hernandez. And a few other fighters that MMA coast, Andrea Lee is another fighter who coaches. So I think he'll be, I don't think he's going to be out of the sport time too, Kevin. Like, he's got a lot of, clients still in the UFC. So he'll be around. But I do wonder what's going to happen with him and Aspen going forward. Because obviously, you know, this was a pretty big, I don't think it was controversial, but people made it out to be. And I almost feel bad for them because it's like, you know, I wouldn't want every argument I had with my fiance to be on public blast, you know what I mean, Marcel? Like, it's not fair, really. it's almost on. I almost feel bad for Jim and Aspen. You know what I mean? Because this is their choice. They are, you know, again, partners, and they choose to be coached and to fight for each other. So this is the kind of thing you'll happen sometimes. But Devin thinks that Ladd's overrated. You know what? I don't want to say she's not good, because I think she is a good fighter, but she is overrated in the sense that if she can't get her opponents to the ground, she's screwed. Just like I talked about Marcel. She has no striking, Marcel. She never developed that. Marcel, she looked lost in the stand-up.
True, but it kind of depends where you rate her, if you want to say she's overrated.
I think at 145, she's going to be in trouble. 135, she's one of the top girls.
Yeah.
She's got the size. So I just think at 145, Marcel, I don't think she's a contender at this weight class. I really don't, because she can't get her points down on the feet. Her striking is limited. It doesn't move her head.
What weight class, Adam?
I mean, 140.
Yeah, what weight class?
140. The one that Cyborg fought, who was it? Leslie Smith, I want to say. They fought at 140. Remember that? When Cyborg had to go in the bathtub, she was cutting all that weight. Daniel says he agrees with Kevin. Lads at this level is tough. Skills aren't elite. She has good ground game, but again, that's it. And if she can't get you down, she's in trouble. You know, but she's only 26, so she still has time to get better, guys. That's the crazy thing. So, all right. Anything else with this fight, Marcel? I mean, for me, it was a boring fight with a stupid controversy that came out of it. It's just, we got to be a little bit tougher than this, guys. You know what I mean? This is MMA. This is MMA. That's what I want to say. We got to be a little bit tougher than this. Like, just because someone's feelings got hurt doesn't mean we have to go and cry about it. You know, Marcel?
Listen,
when you're tough, this is your best attitude, doesn't it? And well, so I agree with that too. Whenever you say someone's got a good chin, they're probably losing the fight.
That's not a problem with it.
I've been paying attention. I haven't seen her post anything about
also, saying, like, it's really disrespectful, in my opinion, from some fighters who are going to pick on that. It's like, listen, guys, if you had a certain corner advice and other people were going to give their opinion about it, you'd be upset about it, you know?
I agree. And you know, a lot of people calling this guy like dollar store James Crowe and stuff. That's not very nice either. You know what I mean? Like, just because the guy looks like James doesn't mean he is James. By the way, James Crowe and Nick Kalikas, they have a podcast now on MMA Oddsbreaker. I don't know if you saw that, Marcel. We got to get a plug with those guys. James Lynch is hosting it. So, pros picks here over at MMA Oddsbreaker. We got me and Marcel doing the podcast Monday, Tuesday, and then you got Mike's MMA picks on Saturday. So, we got a lot of podcasts here now, guys. It's really nice and glad to be part of the team here. All right, let's go to the next fight here, Marcel. We got Andrei Arlovski defeating Carlos Felipe by decision. It was a super close fight. Like, the stats basically had it dead even, and the judges went with Arlovski. I felt like it was a super close fight, could have gone either way. I picked Felipe. I was wrong, obviously, but close fight. What'd you think?
Yeah, close fight. Could have gone either way, right? I mean, first round, Arlovski. Third round, Felipe. Second round, 50-50. Could have gone either way. I mean, I was kind of surprised every judge was on the same line, that the both all three had it for Arlovski, because there's always one judge who has a different normally in these kind of fights. But I mean, I didn't have a problem with scorecard. I think 29-28 either way was the right way to go.
Yep, no, I agree with that. I did bet on Felipe, but this was not one that I was like, you know, jumping up and down yelling at the judges. It's just one of those close fights that he lost. So, you know, don't call a robbery. If someone calls this a robbery, like, that's just a mistake. I did see the media was split in this fight. I think, honestly, could have gone either way. You know what I mean? I really do. All right, let's go to the next fight. Jim Miller defeats Eric Gonzalez. Now, you know, Marcel, the first round was pretty crazy. They were both going at it, but Eric Gonzalez just completely left his chin out in the second round. Jim Miller caught him with a massive, massive punch, knocks him out. Performance of the night bonus for Jim Miller. Continues to get it done, Marcel, at age 38. I mean, the guy is an absolute legend, and by the way, there's no question he's going to the Hall of Fame. No question. He's 100% going to the Hall of Fame. The guy's going to have the most fights in UFC history. If that's not Hall of Fame, I don't know what it is. The guy's longevity in the sport has been second to none. He's been in the UFC since 2008 with no breaks. Fights super often. Fights everyone and everyone. I love Jim Miller, man. Everyone does. The guy looked amazing again. Give me your thoughts on Jim Miller.
I mean, if you have Stephen Bonner in the Hall of Fame, Jim Miller definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, for sure, man. I would think Miller is amazing. And he looked good again on Saturday. I think he got tagged early in the first round, but he came back already late in the first round. And the second round, man, he knocked him out, man. I mean, pretty impressive. Last TKO KO win was against Takanori Gomi, I read. So that was 2016, so long time ago.
Yeah.
But, Jim Miller gets it done. And I mean, it's difficult, man, against a newcomer, you know, somebody who makes his debut. don't know what to expect. And he's like the veteran. It's pretty much complete opposite, right? The guy with the most UFC fights against the guy with zero UFC fights. So, very well done by Jim Miller again, man. Looking forward to what
this is. I just want to answer this question from Glenn. He says, lots being made about Jim Miller's 38th fight, but his pay is low, in his opinion. See, Glenn, I'm not so sure if I agree with that. I'll be honest with you. Like, because to me, $104,000 to show, $104,000 to win, which was his last disclosed salary. I understand after 13 years with the UFC, you'd think it would be a little bit higher, but when you compare it to the other fighters, like, it's pretty much in line, you know, Marcel, for guys been around that long.
It's just kind of low overall, you know.
Plus, low overall, but like, again, he probably made the same amount for this fight, maybe a little bit more, plus $50,000 bonus. So $250,000 for, you know, 7 minutes, 6 minutes of work, not even six, 7 minutes. That's pretty good payday, you know, guys. So I don't know if I can complain about his pay. Although, again, I think in general, the pay is obviously too low. I agree with you on that. You know, all right, let's go to the next fight here, Marcel. We had Manon Fiorot defeat Myra Bueno Silva. Yeah, decision. All I remember from this fight is Bueno Silva going like, sticking her tongue out. Tell her to come in. She was just standing there getting punched in the face, Marcel. Offered no resistance. I mean, Manon is really good, guys. We've talked about this already. I do think she could be a title challenger at some point. And she showed up one round in the game here with showing off her wrestling, too. So I thought she was great. Looked great again. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, man. Perfect fight. You know, no problems at all. Three rounds winning, 30-27. No problem. You know, I mean, I thought she would get a little bit more difficult, but Myra Bueno Silva was more busy with, making weird faces and acting like she didn't get touched and let's go, get the touch again. It was perfect by Fioro, you know, and what's the weird pronunciation on the broadcast with their Fior. This man, it's Fioro, you know, it's not that hard. I mean, good win for Manon Fiorot.
I should be able to get it right because we did learn French in class until I think grade 9 or 10 in Canada. It is the second language here in the country. We got CM Poxings, Orlovsky, Romanov next. It sure seems like that could be the fight, you know. Romanov, he's not – neither guy's ranked, but it does make sense to me, you know. But at the same time, if they gave a Romanov speed back, I talked about that last week because they're both coming off a win over – or they both had a win over Vendier, I should say. Tristan's talking about Bueno Silva did the weirdest taunting to Fiorot. It was annoying. I just did it. It was super. I feel annoyed right now myself for doing it. Daniel says, feel UFC gets a bad rap fighter pay when it comes to these middling veterans. Pays critical main eventers, but their middle class is low as in boxing. Yeah, that's true. And says, another fighter lacking skills get the ground where needed. Yeah, she's got nasty submissions, guys. We saw against Julian Robertson, submitted her with armbar, and also on the contender series. Silva got that ninja choke, but again, she needs to be in a position to do that. And against Fiorot, doesn't make many mistakes, wasn't able to. All right. So on Friday, we had a fight get canceled. Julian Marquez versus Jordan Wright got canceled due to non-COVID health issues, which really sucked. I was looking forward to that fight. I hope Julian feels better. I'm assuming Marcel was a bad weight cut, right? Like, is that fair to assume? What do you think?
I have no idea. My man wasn't COVID, I read. So,
I mean, else could it be, guys? Yeah. If it's during the weigh-in and the guy doesn't make weight, it's probably a bad weight cut. He's a huge middleweight. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he wasn't able to make it. But again, that's just my guess. And maybe Julian will come out and say what happened. I hope they reschedule the fight for very soon from now, but I will say that. All right, so let's talk about the fight that took its place on the main card because we got this one wrong like crazy. You're so wrong, but I was actually thinking about this today. I'm like, man, me and Marcel were so wrong because Nate Landwehr looked amazing in this fight against Ludovic Klein. Submits him. First career submission win for Nate Landwehr, Marcel. Are you kidding me? Like, this is why I fucking love this sport, guys, because this craziest shit happens when we least expect it. Come on. Who was picking Nate Landwehr to win by submission in the third round? Come on. No one was. There was no one on planet Earth that was. Like, are you kidding me? Crazy fight. And, like, listen, Ludovic, at this point, Marcel, 1-2 on the UFC, I think it's fair to say the guy's a little bit overrated. You know, but I still didn't expect it. Even though I don't think he's as good as I thought, you know, the fight was probably won one ending the third round and they had the momentum. But the fact he gets the submission, Marcel, gets the bonus, saves his job. I'm blown away, Marcel. Like, I was blown away by this guy's performance. He looked amazing and we were really, really wrong about this fight. He was plus 300 and we were both so wrong. Like, Marcel's like, he's like, last week you were like, why would you pick Nate Landwehr? There's no point. That's too funny. What are you going to say?
Yeah, man, I was watching that one with my dad, and My dad's like, who's Gutierrez? It's like, man, Klein should have his way he wants, you know? And then the first round was competitive, second round as well, and then Landwehr took completely over. I was like, wow.
Who'd you score the first round for? Did you have it for Klein? Because
I had 1-1. Yeah, I had 1-1 going into the third. So yeah. I was pretty surprised, man, and happily surprised with Landwehr. Finally, he showed that he can hang, you know? I mean, we saw three fights of his, two quick knockout losses, one fight against Darren Elkins, where I still think he didn't win, you know? But this one, very impressive, man, got to say, and against a very good opponent, you know? So, good win for Landwehr. I didn't saw him winning. And, nice 50K bonus as well. So, yeah.
I'm just surprised.
At least now with MMA Masters as well.
Klein goes to Sanford MMA and looks worse. That's really surprising. And I will say Landwehr looked good at MMA Masters. It looks like it was a good move. And also Marina looked good. Marina, what's her name?
Agapova.
Agapova looked good. And now I'm starting to think maybe Colby's going to look a lot better against Usman. Because he's also
who knows, right?
He might look amazing. Like, I don't know. This gym looks like they're doing really well right now. Let me get these comments. TM Hawks asking about junior top flight contenders. Have you heard about anything?
He was supposed to fight Armin Petrosian on tomorrow. But I think I heard he got visa issues, and Kolev was supposed to fight Turkals, a Finnish guy, and he's also out. So they matched up Kolev with Petrosian. So
yeah. Let me get these comments. I'll talk about contender series in a minute. CM Hawk, Kevin Scott's asking, or you just mentioned, Landwehr's plus 300. So, and he's saying, this guy almost took Landwehr by decision. I mean, it was close, right? It was like, what, 2 minutes away from winning decision? Like, that would have been a sharp call. I don't think anyone had him by submission. I'll tell you that right now. Glenn said he's not been a fan since he came in 5 pounds over. Yeah, that's true. He did come in heavy against Shane Young and knocked him out with the head kick. He came in heavy in that fight. Daniel saying, in hindsight, I remember Klein getting submitted quite easily in Cage Warriors. Yes, one fight out of, like, what, 20? So you're right. I mean, the fact he did get subbed in the past, it shows that he could get subbed in the future. But Nate Landwehr never submitted anyone. So I don't think anyone was expecting it. That's the thing, right? Daniel says, Adam's got a refund at Sanford Major. I still believe in the camp, but clearly, I mean, not everyone's going to, you know, look amazing after they go there. Okay, Bruno Silva against Andrew Sanchez. Now, this one's frustrating because I had money on Andrew as the underdog, and I picked him. I'm like, man, I'm a fucking genius, guys. I picked that. I broke down this fight to a T. He's going to use his wrestling. Two rounds, Marcel, dominating the fight. Seven takedowns. And once again, this guy completely gasses out in the third round, gets finished again in the third round. That was tough to watch, guys. I got to be honest. Like, if someone had a ticket on Sanchez as a dog, man, that was tough to watch for myself. Dominating the fight. I thought that was money in the bank, and gassed out, gets finished. Give me your thoughts. I'm still trying to process this one.
Give your thoughts, man. I was like the first two rounds, like, yeah, Adam had it right, you know, and then he gassed out and Silva got the finish, you know, and also got a beautiful black belt for his KO stoppage after being taken down seven times. Also, what are many Brazilians always talking about Muay Thai black belts? There doesn't exist a Muay Thai black belt, you know what I mean? There is no kickboxing black belt at all. So it's like, but again, good comeback win from Silva again, just like against in the tournament fight where he was also behind. That was like only one round. But what can I say? I mean, for Sanchez, it sucks. You know, he was dominating first two rounds and then he gassed out and he got stopped. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was dominating the fight, but, you know, he gassed not only that, but he was so tired he kicked him in the nuts a couple times just to survive. At that point, Marcel, I'm not going to lie, I was like, okay, it's going to be a 10-8 round. Can I just at least get a draw and get my money back? You know, it's just one of those ones. It is what it is. I mean,
I think two judges scored the scorecard 10-9 for Silva in the first round, man, if I saw it correctly.
That's crazy. I mean, it was clearly, I thought 2018, clearly. Yeah, I thought 2017 maybe because the second round was really dominant. Tristan got the third round Silva prop. Nice job. I bet Lane were in first. Yeah, that was a nice job. I mean, even if you got something, Daniel, it's good. All right, let's go to the next fight here. So this was pretty controversial. Let's talk about this one. I think the fight was really, really close. And in hindsight, obviously, the betting odds were way too high. Minus 300 on Meev was just way too high because it was a competitive fight. You know, I think 29-28, either guy's okay. I thought Meev won, personally. But I do think it was close enough that you could give it to Roberts. I don't agree with 30-27. That is fucking insane. That means that you gave all three rounds to him. How did you not give a round to Meev? What kind of judge could see that fight and think Meev lost every round? I don't get it. Danny Roberts is good at making the judges think he's winning, and he's missing a lot of his punches walking forward, though. You know, and again, in a close fight like that, the judges sometimes, if they're not that, you know, smart at watching what they're watching, they might see a guy who's throwing punches and walking forward and give it to him. That's what happened here. I did think Ameev won the fight. I'm not going to cry robbery because I do think it was pretty close, but I hate that 30-27 scorecard. I really do. Give me your thoughts on this one.
30-27 Roberts by Chris Lee. Get out of here, dude. Get out of here. Get a new job. You know, you're an idiot. 30-27. Nobody had that 30-27. Even Roberts was like, 30-27. Oh, I might be fucked here. And then he was like, yeah, 30-27. It's like, so stupid. You know, if you, it wasn't 30-27, but if you score it for someone 30-27, it could be Emiev. You know what I mean? But also not. I had 29-28 for Ramazan Emiev. I already posted on Twitter, Ramazan the Dagestani decision, Emiev, 29-28. So it was like, I mean, was a close fight. I don't mind if you give it 29-28 to Roberts, but I mean 30-27. Out of your damn mind, you know what I mean? But it's not the first time with Chris Lee. I'm really surprised.
Chris Lee again. He's just a fucking moron. I mean, the guy's, he's screwing people over. That's the thing. Like, you know, it's one of those things, you know, you just want them to get it right. Again, I think it was a close fight. I just don't think 30-27, like, how could anyone say that fight was 30-27? You know what I mean? That's absolutely, absolutely insane. Anyways, let's go to the next fight here. This was a really tricky one for me, guys, because I'm still not sold on Loopy. I like her. I'm not sold on her, though. And when Sajara pulled out last week and they replaced her with Loopy against Luan, it was a big girl with good Muay Thai. I was scratching my head about this fight, Marcel. Ultimately, I did go with Loopy because I thought the grappling would get done, but the size proves to be a difference here. Again, this is why we have weight classes. It's like we need a reminder sometimes. I think this is another close fight, but I thought Luana won the fight. I thought she won the second and third round, so I actually think the scores were fine. Any thoughts?
I slightly scored it for Loopy, but I think I had no problem with
it. It was close. Like, I think either way, 29-20, again.
Really no problem with it.
I was a little surprised with unanimous, I'll be honest, but I think it's fine. I don't think it's a bad scorecard. So, you know, I think Luana is an underrated fighter again. You know, she's back-to-back fights now. She's a big underdog and wins. So, underrated fighter, guys, and that's why you got to check the hype sometimes. So much hype about Loopy, but again, weight class difference and everything. So Brian thinks it's corruption with the judges. Yeah, I can't believe it's the 30-27 scorecard. This is crazy, man. I'm still scratching my head. All right, let's go to this next fight. Denad Batgirl defeats Brandon Diaz, first round knockout. We both like this guy. Marcel gets the job done again. I hope we get a big step forward for this guy, a big top 15 opponent, because I think he deserves it, Marcel. 3 straight knockout wins. I like watching this guy fight. Brandon Davis, it was just too much on short notice. I do think he'll, you know, again, he'll be successful, I think, in the UFC in his return, but against guys lower at the division. A guy like Batgirl, who I think is just really underrated, and he's got crazy knockout power for this division, Marcel. I like this guy, and this was always going to be a tough fight for Brandon. So give me your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, man, give him a top 15 next, or give him Montel Jackson and a fight that was supposed to take place earlier this year. I mean, a great performance again, man. He do look really good, man. Really clean. Really like how he fights. And Brandon Davis, super tough guy, as we all know. And he got them out in the first round. So, really impressive.
You look good. Okay, in the last fight of the night, Ariel Carlos defeats Estela Nunez. So, we had a few thoughts on this. First of all, I did win a bet on this one. So, I like Carlos in this fight. The grappling was really good. Gets the job done. But it's crazy how she needed to finish, Marcel, because the judges... One of the judges had she wouldn't want a split decision, but one of the judges had her down 2-0 heading the third round, which to me is nuts. Very clear 1-1 heading the third round, I think. If not 2-0 Carnelosi, I would lean towards more so than 2-0 Nunes. Not only that, but Keith Peterson, 3 fence grabs, no point deduction. So I want to hear your thoughts because I know you weren't too happy about this.
I was really pissed about it, actually, because in the first fence grab, she actually pulled herself up, you know. She didn't take advantage. She was preventing Carnelosi from taking her full down there, you know. And when Keith Peterson said, let go of the fence, she kept holding, you know. Yeah. And after that, she let go. Second time again. Third time was in the last round. She tried it again, you know, but she just let it loose, like, 2 seconds later, you know, but she still had an advantage where she could settle herself, pretty much like Davidson Figueiredo did in the Alex Perez fight, you know, where he could settle himself to get a better position. She did it as well, you know, so I was actually happy that Carnelosi finished the fight in the third round because she got three times in a disadvantage by the referee, and Peterson didn't do shit. You know, what are you there for? You know, if somebody grabs the fence, it's just so stupid, you know. And pretty much, you really much, how do you say that? You invite fighters to grab the fence if you don't do anything with it, because they can prevent themselves from getting in a bad position with a takedown or whatever by grabbing the fence. And you just say, let go of the fence. Yeah, great. So what? Yeah. Doesn't happen anything. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I agree. All right. Dale thought he was expecting a close scorecard. I mean, I think it was probably just clearly 1-1, you know? Anyways, anything else with this card or so? We should move on. Anything else you want to talk about, or are we good?
No, we're good.
Okay, let's go to Bellator. We'll do that quickly. I didn't get a chance to watch it live on Saturday. I woke up and watched it the next day. It was just a lot of MMA. I really hate when both promotions are on the same night. I find it's already a lot of MMA. You know, I got a kid now, right? So it's like, you got to kind of, what's the word? Prioritize. For you, you're in the middle of the night, right? So,
I mean, upcoming Saturday, you have at the same time KSW, Glory, UFC, and Bellator. All four at the same time.
Yeah, I wish they would just do it Friday and then Saturday. I thought Bellator was doing a good job because everybody went to like Friday night, so I don't know why they went back to Saturdays. Anyways, a lot of stuff happened in the prelims. I know a lot of people won some money on their parlays. Bellator parlays seem to be winning money. I mean, usually the favorites win. What are you going to say?
Adam, I mean, if we would do Bellator picks instead of UFC picks,
that's what I'm saying.
We'd probably be like 225 or something.
I know. I agree. Bellator is... It's a lot. I think it's a lot easier to predict these fights. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious they want to win. It's not like the UFC where I don't think the UFC really has an agenda a lot of the time. I think they just want to see the better fighters. I don't think it's about they want to promote so and so. Like, whereas with Bellator, we know that's like, for instance, you know, Benson Henderson's wife fought someone that had no business being in the cage with her, for instance. Brian saying Jalen Bates the problem. He's good. I think we both like him. And he doesn't like going on Saturday. I think one should be Friday, one Saturday. Anyways, we'll do the main card here. So Vadim Nemkov defeats Julius Anglicus, fourth round Cabrera. I mean, he got rocked in the first round, Marcel. He got dropped there, but once again, showed off the championship medal and comes back and wins. I mean, Vadim Nemkov's great, and he's going to fight Corey Anderson and knocked out Ryan Bader. That, to me, was a bit more surprised. I'm not surprised at all that Nemkov won. I think we both predicted that. But Anderson and Bader, I was honestly scratching my head about that one. I know Anderson's looked good, but Bader, to me, is obviously very good as well. And you know, I mean, I think at this point, though, at age 38, that weight cut to 205 is very, very difficult for him, and his chin is just not the same. It's not even his chin. He got rocked behind the ear in this fight. He got hit right there. So I do think there is something that I think at heavyweights he'll still do well, but at light heavyweight, he can't do that weight cut anymore.
I know.
But Corey Anderson, man, looked good. What are you going to say?
I told you, man, if Anderson shows up like he showed up against Yaksha Muradov, he will walk through Bader.
Yeah. And he did.
He did.
And he's won three straight fights in Bellator now. Now he's out there on Twitter saying he's the best light heavyweight in the world, even though Jan knocked him out last year. You know, here's the thing. They did fight back in 2015, and Corey won. He won a dominant decision, Marcel, very dominant. But that was six years ago. And we just saw him fight last year, and Blachowicz won. I think Blachowicz is clearly number one in the world.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I mean, you can't say this is – I think Coker said, like, this is the actual light heavyweight belt that does – it's like, dude, you know, you can't say that when Anderson recently got knocked out by Jan Blachowicz. You know what I mean? You just can't say that. It doesn't make sense. It actually – listen, I like Coker, but that makes you look stupid, man, to say such a thing. And I know his promotion and that kind of stuff, but – I never understand that, you know. I mean, they all want to be so badly engaging with the UFC, trying to say that their fighters are better. Chatri Sitthong does the same thing with one, you know, and it's just so stupid because it won't happen. The UFC is not going to fight any of your fighters unless they're on a UFC contract. It's that simple.
The crazy thing is, we're talking about two guys that a few years ago, Corey Anderson, I remember he got knocked up by John Vellante. And Jan Blachowicz lost to Patrick Cummings, and now we're talking about the best light heavyweight in the world a few years later. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. The sport moves quick, man. People get better or they get worse. Both these guys look good. The other two fights in the main card, Brent Primus defeats Ben Anderson, and Kendry Corrales won his fight. Any other thoughts on this card? Anything else you want to
yeah,
say?
Also a good win for Mohamed Berkhamov against Jaleel Willis, a fight that should have been on the main card, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Berkhamov, great fighter, just too inactive all the time. But he got it done, man, against Jaleel Willis, which is a good fighter. And, that's pretty much it, man. You know, and maybe a good win for Sumiko Inaba as well, which is a talented girl, you know. So
And again, we have Bellator this Saturday, I should say. Fedor's fighting Tim Johnson. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. So tomorrow, again, I mentioned this earlier, but 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to do the podcast just because Marcel's got some stuff going on during the day. So 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. I'll announce it at the end of the show again. Just a one-off. We're gonna continue to do 4 p.m. Eastern, which is a good time for both of us. But tomorrow, Marcel's got he's got a hot date, so we're gonna do a little bit later. There we go.
You're nuts.
We got our boy Alex here, late check-in. What's up, Alex? CM Hawk. A little fact: I had way bigger expectations for Junior being in Juan Adams when they got signed to Chris Dawkins. I think a lot of us, especially for Juan, I think a lot of us thought Juan was gonna be something, but he's. He hasn't really panned out. I mean, he's still, I think he just won his fight. I want to say Fury FC. I want to say he's fighting in. Kevin says Bellator's a joke. They operate like the minor leagues, and their bigger names can only be called people outside their organization. Cyborg, Pitbull. I, you know, it's very frustrating for me, Kevin, because I was such a big fan of Strikeforce. I love Strikeforce. It was an amazing promotion. The matchmaking was fantastic. The talent was amazing, and I just don't feel the same way about Bellator. I find it's. It's a good option for fighters, but I don't enjoy watching as much as UFC. I don't think the fights are as competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, there obviously are some good fighters in Bellator. But I'm not trying to bash Bellator again. It's the second best organization, I guess, just because there are not many good ones. But I still feel like the UFC is in a whole different other level. CM talking about Volante, is his job in line next fight against Chris Barnett? It sure is. Glenn says, is your name Ajax? Oh,
My man knows. Let's go.
All right, let's talk about Contender Series from last week because we didn't get a chance to do that. So let's talk about the signings. So, CM Hawk was asking about Martin Boudet, what we thought. I thought he looked good, man. He looked really good against Lorenzo Hood. Obviously, he was going to win the fight. I mean, that was a good matchup for him. I think he could fight the other guy they signed. What was his name? The guy they signed a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Brzeski? I mean, that guy?
Lucas Brzeski. They could do that fight. Maybe just do that. I think they could do that.
You By know, the way. I was so disappointed Michael Bisping wasn't on the Contender Series booth last Tuesday because he could have said Martin Buday, like he always says.
Bisping's good, but yeah, Paul Felder did it, and Paul Felder announced that he's considering a comeback, by the way, so I'm sure you saw that. He's thinking about it.
Paul Felder's amazing, by the way.
Yeah, he just retired. You know, he's still young. He can fight again. Yeah. Kevin Scott will take LFA over Bellator any day. LFA is good, and they have competitive fights, so I kind of agree with that, but you know, Bellator obviously has bigger names, so... Anyways, let's talk about the other guy first. Slava Borshev. I mean, I was blown away. I really like this guy, guys. His striking is really good. Marcel, what do you think of his performance? Because he knocked out Chris Duncan, the guy who's undefeated. They call him the Slava Claws. I mean, the guy's got an amazing nickname, great fighting style, Team Alpha Male. I really like this guy. What do you think?
Yeah, he was like the long-lost twin of Ryan LaFleur, man. He looked like him. he did great, man. I mean, against Chris Duncan, a great prospect from Scotland, you know.
Yep.
Was an amazing fight. And he knocked him out with a clean punch, you know, and starch. Yep. And respect, by the way, to Borshev by not punching anymore to Duncan. Beautiful. Who was completely knocked out. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was blown away. I the guy looked incredible, way better than I thought. I mean, I thought Duncan would win, so that's great. And it's nice to see a guy like this, you know, get to the UFC because he's exciting. And I think that this is a good signing. All right, so let's talk about the other guy. Go ahead.
I want to ask you one more thing, man. Tomorrow, there's a fighter. I think that's the opening fight was 39. Next week, there's a fighter with 40.
James Barnes, yeah.
Yeah, does that make sense on the Contender Series?
It doesn't because it's supposed to be prospects. My only guess is they were short notice and someone got injured and fell off. That's what I'm guessing, Marcel.
I mean, if you want to give somebody an opportunity at that age, give them an opportunity, but don't bring them to the Contender Series.
I agree. James Barnes is a guy I remember watching on the Chuck Liddell card a few years ago. He's been in Bellator. He's a guy that's good in the regional scene. I don't think he'll do well in the UFC. He's 39 years old. But at the same time, Russell, it's nice to see the old guys get a chance. I just think Dana's going to be like, you're too old if you win, like he said to Chris Curtis.
Yeah.
Dale's picking Barnett by Hurricane Rana. I like Chris Barnett. He's a big boy. Glenn says thoughts on the recent two-man commentary booth. Is the UFC cost-cutting? I actually think two-man's better, personally. I don't really like three-man booths. It used to be two-man. It used to always be two-man. It would be you know, Joe Rogan and Mike Goldberg. Then they went to three when the new ownership took over, and I liked you better. CM Hawk says, funny that Dana told Sakel Missy Weight was one of the reasons he didn't sign the guy to beat Cortez. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about this fight. So Jake Hadley, there was two fighters to miss weight, Christian Rodriguez and Jake Hadley. We both thought they would win. They both won. They both looked good. I thought Christian Rodriguez looked phenomenal, but he did miss weight. The thing is, Jake Hadley also looked phenomenal. He also missed weight. He got signed. Rodriguez didn't get signed. Not only that, but Dana White starts talking about afterwards. This has been a week now, but You know, last week, you know, Dana White started saying how this guy was being a prick to the matchmakers and to like the limo driver or whatever backstage. And he's just like, this guy's not been very friendly to people behind stage. And yet he still signed him after that. So like, after he missed weight too, I understand the guy is an exciting guy. Great ground game. I mean, who throws up Gogo Plata's? It's amazing. But I just think he opened up such a huge can of worms by signing him, Marcel, because now it gives other guys in the future the chance to get signed if they miss weight. And it's just so stupid that he says this guy's not going to make the UFC because he missed weight in Rodriguez, and then a second later signs this guy, Hadley, even though he missed weight, because he makes a special exception for him, even though he said Sean Shelby and McNay were so pissed off that they stormed out of the Apex, Marcel, because the matchmakers were so upset, because this makes the matchmaker's job hard, Marcel. What happens when Jake Hadley comes to his UFC debut and he weighs in at 127 for his flyweight fight, Marcel? It just makes Nick Maynard and Sean Shelby want to pull their hair out. So give me your thoughts on this guy getting signed, Rodriguez not getting signed. I want to hear your thoughts on the situation.
Yeah, Dana doesn't have that problem where he wants to pull his hair out. But, sorry I had to make it, man. The thing that really bothered me, you know, it's not even that he got him a contract, but then he said about Rodriguez, like, yeah, you didn't make weight and you look good, but you're still young and you can come back in a few years. Then Sanko asked him specifically if Rodriguez made weight, would have been a different decision. Yeah, definitely. I was like, what the hell, man? Definitely. Yeah. So you blaming him for not making weight, but you're taking Hadley, then you're just having double standards, you know what I mean? Yeah. I have no problem with him signing Hadley, but don't give Rodriguez shit for missing weight, for not signing him, and then saying to Sanko, if he made weight, I would have signed him. Fuck off, you know? That's just stupid. Just say then at that moment, you know, I think he looks good, you know, but I still think he's young, and we want to see what he does in the future, and maybe in 1 or 2 years, or maybe we invite him back next year, the Contender Series. Say that, you know, but don't come up with some stupid-ass shit, you know, what he always does. It's just annoying to me, you know? You're just saying double standard things that doesn't make sense. Be honest, you know what you mean? And if you were like, I pick Hadley because I really – just say I like Hadley, you know. I think he is amazing. He missed weight. I blame him on that, but I still want to sign him because I see something in him, you know. Perfect. You know, I have no problem with that. But don't going to say to Rodriguez like you didn't got the contract because you didn't make weight, because that's exactly what he said. That's just bullshit, you know. That's what's really pissing me off.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm not sure what to say. Like, I mean, it's Dana White's promotion. He can do what he wants, but it's like, you know, it just makes Mick and Sean's job a lot harder once this guy, because watch, they've already had an issue with Davidson Figueiredo missing weight as a champion, basically. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They've had a problem with it's the lowest weight class in the UFC for men. So you're going to have guys that are struggling to make weight because it's just, you can't get any lower, really. I know that mm-hmm. some promotions have 115 men's, but in the UFC, it's not. It's 125. It's a low weight class. It's hard for these guys to make weight. But to me, it's like, I asked Anita, my fiance, I was like, do you think you should sign him? I mean, the guy looked good, right? She goes, no, because he's not reliable. He got his job is to make weight and to fight. And he only did one of those things, Marcel. So to me, it's like, again, I tell those all the time, if you miss weight for this, it's like being late for a job interview, guys, you know? Anyways, at the end of the day, the guy got signed. I think he's a good, talented fighter, but I really hope he makes weight. I hope he makes weight. Now, let me get these comments. It was a very Dana White moment. Yeah, it really was. It's so ironic, right? Glenn says, Duncan claimed he cut three times in a week, twice for Dana White Contender Series and a backup for UFC card. I mean, I'm just looking at his record, Glenn, and he'd never been knocked out in his career, including his amateur career. So I do think that weight cut took something out of his durability. CM Hawk, do you think of all the heavyweights competing in Ross Greer Series, Rizvan Khouniev is the best and ironically didn't get signed? I don't know because, okay, that the thing about that guy is he's obviously good and, you know, he submitted the guy or he ground and pounded the guy. But with that fight, it was a boring fight. He basically pushed him against the fence for 10 minutes and then took him down. And the guy was 30 pounds less. Dana White didn't like that. I think Boudet is the best of the three. But I think that guy, Khouniev, could beat Lucas Bresky. So to me, I'm a little surprised Dana didn't take him, to be honest with you, because he did get the finish. But it wasn't the most exciting fight. Anything else, Marcel? You want to talk about?
I mean, he signed Alan Crowder and Dontell Mace. You know, Dante Miss, after losing two times early in the Contender Series, he signed him a third time. So, I don't know, man. I mean, I didn't really like the Khouniev fight either, but at least he looked like he had a solid game, what he showed. But it wasn't really like, how do you say that, eventful to watch. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't make the decisions, but yeah.
The other thing was, I didn't watch it, but Cage Warriors was last name. Spike Carlisle won. I don't know if you saw that, Marcel. And Max Roscoff also won his fight.
I saw some that was like 5 a.m. my time.
Yeah, the there was also a crazy crescent kick knockout. You see
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the second fight.
That was crazy, eh? So there was a crazy. Let me just pull it up because you know what's funny? You guys know my boy James Lynch. There's a guy in Cage Warriors named James Lynch, which is crazy, true. Marcel. I think he's the guy that knocked out Lemmy Chuck.
No.
Sorry, he got submitted. Yeah. It was Jose Hernandez got knocked out, I think. That was a crazy kick, man. I mean, sorry. Justin Barry knocked out Alan Benson. That was the
kick.
Very rarely seen crescent kick. Go look for that if you want. But yeah, that card, they've been doing them in San Diego like once every couple months now, Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
I think Angela Hill was a commentator, I want to say. I didn't watch the card, though.
No, I haven't either watched it.
I wanted to watch it. I was just so tired last night, honestly. Like, especially now with the kid, man. Like, I you know, it's tough. Like, the nights are definitely not as easy. TM Hawks, the UFC book, Romanov versus Amanov or Romanov, Romanov versus Harris. I'm okay with either one. I just, you know, again, I think Walt Harris is very overrated. Ivanov, to me, is a more solid fighter, so that's a tougher test, in my opinion. He's asking about Justin Pico versus Justin Gonzalez. Aaron Pico, excuse me, versus Justin Gonzalez. I love that fight, man. Good fight. Justin Gonzalez should have been in the UFC, too. I mean, he had a win on Contender Series. Again, Marcel, another great Dana White passed on, and now, you know, Bellator scoops him up.
You saw, by the way, Okamoto scooping that one, and Justin Gonzalez replied under it like, dude, tag me in this.
Yeah, he wasn't too thrilled that Brett only talked about, Pico, but, I mean... Is Pico, is he an Ali guy? I want to say he is too. Anyways, I think that's it for today, man. Gail said the Spike Carlisle fight was fun. I'll try to check it out. We know he knocked out JJ Ambrose, so that's good. Also, Marcus Perez lost. He fought at light heavyweight.
Yeah.
He actually missed weight, came in at 210 and lost. I only remember the guy because of the Joker. Remember the Marcel? He had the Joker.
Yeah,
like,
why so serious? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that's it. I mean, I think we're good for today. We'll be back tomorrow, guys. We'll break down UFC Vegas 41, Vittori versus Costa. We'll do that tomorrow. What are you going to say, Marcel?
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah, of course.
Kickboxing fight on Saturday is really big over here. Rico Verhoeven against Jamal Ben-Sadiq. What do you think, man, if you have any knowledge about it?
I don't know. I got to be honest, man. Like, you put me in such a bad spot. Now I sound like I don't
Sorry,
know
what man. About. Sorry.
I don't know a lot about his opponent, man. I know that he was supposed to fight Alistair Overeem, Rico, obviously. Mm-hmm. What do you know about this guy he's fighting?
So Ben-Sadiq, they fought two times against each other. Ben-Sadiq fought Verhoeven in the second pro fight, I think. And Verhoeven was also like early, and he knocked him out in that fight. Then the second fight was like 3 or 4 years ago, and Verhoeven won there in the fifth round. So it's pretty much 1-1. Now against each other, both guys really don't like each other. And it's not just for how do you say that, for the audience and for the play. They really don't like each other. Ben-Sadiq, he was in trouble with justice. They still have something on him, but he's free for this moment. And he battled cancer many times in his career, and he's now fully recovered from that. He looks amazing. He looks really sharp, man. And Verhoeven always like top-notch cardio, you know, knows how to win fights. You know, he has cardio for five rounds, calls himself the cardio king, and I think that's deservedly so. Really, really intriguing fight, you know. Better fight, honestly, than Verhoeven against Overeem, although I would really love to see that fight. Don't get me wrong.
Who's the cardio king? Whose nickname is cardio king?
Verhoeven.
Oh, that's a nice nickname. That's cool.
He's the king of kickboxing.
Fair enough. I was going to say, that's a cool nickname, though. But I got to be honest, man, I don't know as much about this as you, obviously, so I'll defer to you on this one. Marcel, let's get out of here, man. Plug yourself. Let's go.
BigMarcel24, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook on MMADNA.nl.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMattermartin, podcast, MBLTwicker.com, so on our YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, all those places you find them. I'm also available at BJPen.com, MyMinNews.com, The All-Star, Elite Fantasy, Elite Sports Betting, and, of course, where else am I? Everywhere, man. Bookies. That's the other place I'm with. Bookies doing some stuff for football, which is cool. Anyways, Marcel, we'll be back tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern. And we'll break down that Vittorian Costa card. Until then, guys, have a great day. And we'll also talk about Contender Series as well. It'll basically, the podcast will be the hour before the show.